James chapter 1. James chapter number 1. Let me give you a couple thoughts from this passage of Scripture. James chapter number 1. A couple verses tonight. Verse 13 says, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren." Let the church say amen. Our Father, we pray that I add my blessing to the reading of your word. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to be a blessing. We're living in a day and age where the world is not getting any better. And there's a lot going on. And if ever the people of God needed to make a decision to stand for God, this is that day. It's going to take spiritual fortitude, more than just desire, intention, or even, Lord, plans. God, it takes a serious devotion and walk with you. And these next several verses in James are crucial. They're important. They're real. They are relevant. And they're right. Now may they be reproduced in our lives in a way that not just we know it, not just you can see it, but that the world knows that we're different. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. As we dove into this book in the Word of God, this writing from James, the brother of the Lord, we established very early on, in addition to the author and the audience, that the application of this book to us was to stress the need for spiritual maturity. By the way, folks, in order to stress the need for spiritual maturity, we must acknowledge the existence of spiritual immaturity. So, James said you need to grow up. And in order to grow up, we have to realize we're not grown. And so he's taking this letter, writing it to the people of God who were saved but scattered, struggling, and saying, since you are struggling, since you are scattered, since you are saved and the world doesn't embrace your salvation, you better make sure you are spiritually mature, otherwise you won't make it. So the last several weeks we've dealt with trials. They're coming. They're coming. I listen to me. They're coming to all of us. So we can't avoid having trials. We can make sure that the trials enter our lives while we're mature in the Lord. Growing up. How do I know I'm growing up? When I'm able, in the midst of trials, to count it all joy. Somebody say amen. To evaluate that my circumstances don't determine my joy. My crises don't determine my joy. My struggles don't determine my joy. My trials don't determine my joy. For if I'm spiritually mature, I'm rooted in God, I know what I need to know, I got the help I need to have, I got the promise that I'm going to be rewarded, I can face the most difficult of circumstances knowing I can still have joy. Amen. So important. On the heels of that issue, he enters a new domain in verse number 13. I've entitled this next section, and it's not a big one in length, but it's a big one in importance. Verse number 13 through verse number 16. And I'm entitling this, "Don't Bite the Bait." Don't bite the bait. Now, we're talking about biting bait. We're thinking of a fish. And we're thinking of a fish that is being hunted by a fisherman that's got a hook on the hook is some bait. I want the believers to know that if you're saved tonight, you are being hunted. And the hunter wants to get you hooked. And he wants to get you hooked by getting you to bite the bait. So I want to think about this. Remember, we're dealing with growing up in the Lord. Growing up in the Lord. Growing up in the Lord. You can't mature if you keep biting the bait. I hear people say all the time, I'm not growing. I'm not growing. I'm not maturing. I feel like I'm running in circles. I feel like I take one step forward. I take two steps backward. I feel like I'm not growing in the Lord. Maybe tonight, maybe you're not growing because over and over repeatedly, you keep biting the bait and you cannot get closer to God if you are continuously hunted successfully by the devil. Write this down in your notes. There's a cautioning precept given here. A cautioning precept given here in verse number 13. Let no man say when he is tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man. There is a cautioning precept here. I want you to notice one word in verse number 13, and it is the word when. I want you to notice what the word when is not. It's not if. He didn't say let no man say if he's tempted. He said let no man say when he's tempted. So mark your calendar. You will be tempted. It is an unavoidable test. When it's coming. When it's going to show up. When it's going to knock on your door. When you're going to face it. When you're going to have to endure it. When you can't hide from it. When you can't avoid it. Every single child of God, primarily we're preaching to Christians tonight, every single child of God needs to mark it down on your spiritual calendar that the when of temptation is coming. When? But amidst this unavoidable test, James says, let me tell you about an unacceptable tactic. When you're tempted, and you will be, don't you blame God. Don't you say it was God. Don't you? And by the way, some people won't say that God tempted them, but some people will say it's God's fault they got tempted. He said, let no man, not some, not most, let no man say when he is tempted that he is tempted of God. By the way, the first people ever tempted in the human race found a way to blame God. The woman that thou gavest me, she's the one that gave me the fruit. And by the way, let me say this, and it needs to be said. We're living in a society, and by the way, not only the sin of society, but the psychology of society has promoted and programmed us to think that every time somebody messes up, it's somebody else's fault. Somebody kills somebody, well, my daddy didn't treat me right. Somebody molests somebody, well, somebody didn't do me right. Somebody drinks, well, it was in my gene pool. This happened to me where I never had this. And by the way, I'm not saying that our backgrounds don't affect who we are, but I'm saying once you get in trouble, Christ, he gives you everything you need, not only to escape hell and to enter heaven, but to live the victorious life in between. So here's what he's saying. When you get tempted, and you find yourself facing difficulty and trial, don't you blame God. Don't you say, God, it's your fault. God, you failed me. God, it didn't happen how it should have happened. God, if you had done this for me, I would have done better. Listen to me. He said, that's not a tactic that needs to be used. And by the way, the more we excuse sin, the more we continue in it. Amen. Listen to me. We're living in a society today that's finding a lot of sins that are becoming more than just evil. We know that. They're becoming faddish. They're becoming, listen to me, homosexuality has become faddish. Listen, alternative lifestyles, as they call it. No. God says that's an abomination before the Lord. It's becoming faddish. Listen to me now. There's a lot of stuff coming faddish, and faddish just means that a lot of people are doing it. And I'm just simply saying, just because sin has more fans doesn't make it any less wrong. Wow. Don't you blame God. The unavoidable test is when you be tempted. The unacceptable tactic is, don't you say it was God. The undeniable truth is, he can't be tempted and he doesn't do the tempting. Somebody say amen. Now, that, you can't deny that. Let me tell you why God cannot be tempted. I want to tell you, because he is a God of sinless character. Somebody say amen. We don't serve a flawed God. We serve a flawless God. Amen. We don't serve an imperfect God. We serve a perfect God. We don't just serve a good God. We serve a holy God. We serve a sinless God. And the reason why God can't tempt you with sin, and the reason why God cannot be tempted to sin, is because the character of God is flawless. Listen to me. He hates sin. Sin is repulsive to him. Sin is something that God is not drawn to. Listen to me. The sinless character of God brings us to a simple conclusion about God. That word tempted means to be enticed. And then he says, God cannot be tempted. And that word cannot be tempted, or neither tempted he, literally means in the Greek, here's the word, aporastos. It means not temptable, impossible to be tempted. Listen to me. God cannot be tempted. By the way, I've heard people say many times, Jesus was on planet Earth, Matthew chapter 4, Luke chapter 4, and the devil tempted the Lord Jesus Christ. The question we often ask men that are standing before an ordination council is, could Jesus have sinned? Could Jesus have sinned? I got a problem with this. Okay, my sound man's helping me out. Praise the Lord. Could Jesus have sinned? The answer is, no, he could not have sinned. Somebody said, well, he was a man, yeah, but he wasn't only a man, he was the God man, and he could not be tempted. Well, you say, well, why does the Bible say the devil tempted Jesus? He tried to. And by the way, do you know that Jesus, when the devil tempted him, could have run him away, could have knocked him down, could have sent him to hell early and let him know to move his reservation up several thousand years? He could have done that, but my friend, he did not respond to the devil that way, because that was the only way he could have defeated the devil. He responded to the devil that way to give us a human response to temptation while we're on planet Earth. And three times he didn't say, get away. He didn't say, I'm stronger than you. He didn't say, I made you. Three times the Lord Jesus said, it is written. He used the Bible. By the way, I thought about this. I thought this was cute. I think it's better than cute. I think it's wonderful. Thank you, Tyreek. Tyreek, trust me. He's already saying amen. Amen. I like that. I'll let you wait. See if you think it's good. A magnet is made out of iron. And a magnet, because it's made out of iron, cannot attract a piece of silver, cannot attract a golden coin, cannot attract a piece of lead. The reason why a magnet can only attract iron is because it has the same nature as the magnet. And because something else that's iron can be attracted to something else that's iron, is because both of those objects are made of the same thing. Listen to me. You can't tempt God of sin, and God can't be tempted of sin, because God can't be drawn to sin, and sin can't be drawn to God, because sin is sin and God has no sin. So he ain't going to be drawn to something that he doesn't have any of it in him. Somebody say amen. The reason why we're drawn to sin is because we are sinful. God is not drawn to something. There's nothing in God that is sinful. He is altogether holy, so sin does not appeal to him. As a matter of fact, he utterly detests it. Cautioning precept. When you will be baited. But when you do, don't blame God. Why? He's perfect. Now, number two, and then we'll close here tonight. The cautioning precept is preceded by what I call a common process. A common process. So, if God's not tempting you, who is? If God's not tempting you, who is? The devil. He's the tempter. Isn't it amazing? In an ultimately perfect environment, unannounced and uninvited, Satan showed up. Now, somebody listen to me tonight. Here's what Genesis chapter 3 says to me. I can be living for God, loving God, serving God. And listen to me. We're in Crossroads Baptist Church. It's a great environment, but Eden was better. Now, if the devil found his way into a beautifully, perfectly created Eden, what makes you think that you can live good enough that he won't find his way into tempting you? He shows up. He's a snake. And snakes show up uninvited. And I hate snakes. Absolutely. I'm scared of dead snakes. We found a little small, little tiny snake in our basement. It was several years back, and I thought, I ain't doing nothing with that thing. I'm a city boy. Andre's sister-in-law was in town. And they're down from the Eastern Shore. They kill snakes for fun. His brother wasn't here, but his brother's wife was here. He sent his brother's wife to my house, to my basement, to get a snake. And she looked at me, you were scared of this? You better believe it. Don't mess with no snakes. The devil's a snake. Snakes are cunning. Snakes are sneaky. Amen. Snakes come up on you in a very slick way. And I want to tell you something. If God's not doing the tempting, you can rest assured the devil is. Write down Satan's launch. Satan's launch. Satan is a tempter. Every man is tempted. By whom? Satan's launch. His launch involves an intentional persuasion. Here's what the devil does. He tries to convince you. He tries to persuade you. He tries to get you to do something that you're not supposed to do. I will make note of this. Although Satan does meet you with intentional persuasion, he also meets you with an impossible push. You study scripture, and I'm going to tell you, as a child of God, you will never find one place in scripture where a saved person, although attempted to be persuaded by the devil, was ever pushed by the devil. He cannot make you sin. But he makes sin persuasive. Satan's launch. Now write down this next one. Self's lust. Epithumia, the word lust is in the Greek. Epithumia. Here it is. It is a longing or a desire for that which is forbidden. Now, the devil was created as the worship leader in heaven. Ezekiel 28 said he had tabrets and pipes. He was the quintessential musician, and he led the angels in that worship. He got kicked out of heaven because of pride, fell to earth. And while God's making a beautiful world, into the world slithers the devil. He can't mess with God, so he wants to mess with God's people. Let me tell you what the devil knows that some Christians act like they don't know. That inside of every one of us is lust. He don't have to create the lust. He just has to ignite it. Throw stuff at it. Dangle stuff in front of it.
Self lust is there.
You say, Pastor, I don't have lust in. Oh, yes, you do.
Well, I have no desire for this. I have no desire for that. I have no desire to drink. I have no desire to smoke. I have no desire. Listen to me. You may say you don't have a desire to do certain things, but you got a wicked flesh in you that is capable of doing all those things.
Here's the flesh. It's a wicked flesh that has a waiting feast. Inside of every flesh of every Christian is that insatiable desire to tear up some sin. Now, let me close with this, and here's what I want us to get, and then I'll finish the rest of it in 2 weeks, because the mothers, and don't act, men, don't even act like you're mad. You're glad that they've given you a reason to be home. I guess we have to sacrifice next Sunday night for the ladies. Stop lying. You know you're glad for the break too. Here's what I want you to see. Satan's launch, self's lust, and sin's lure. He's wicked. The flesh is wicked. Wait. But Pastor, I'm saved. Your flesh not saved. You mean the devil is a lurer? Oh, yeah. He's luring some of your minds right now. Can you imagine the devil? You think the devil lures us while we're praying? Oh, yeah. While we're in church? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. What could the devil lure me to do in church? Lure me to do something else? By the way, I was saying this morning, thank God for hard copies of the Bible. Let me tell you something else about a hard copy of the Bible. Not only does it give you practice in finding scripture, it gives you less of an entrance pattern for the devil to get you more distracted. When I read my Bible, a text doesn't pop up on my Bible. When I read my phone, a text pops up on my phone. So right in the middle while I'm trying to listen to the preacher, there's a Facebook update and there's a text. That's a potential distract. Listen to me. I'm not saying you came to church to get distracted. I'm just telling you that the devil knows that when you brought the Spirit of God inside of you to church, you also brought your flesh. I wish we could push ushers around the building and block the devil out like we try to block crazy people. But he's a spirit being. And unlike human beings, we can't see him come in here. So there's a lure. Let me give you three things about the lure that happened with Eve and it happens with us. Here it is. Satan's lure involves an attempted implication, an added insinuation, and an accepted infiltration. Here's the attempted implication. Ye shall not surely die. The added insinuation. Ye shall be as God. The accepted infiltration means she believes it. And here's what he does. He suggests. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Watch this now. And sometimes he doesn't just walk up and say, there's nothing wrong with it. Sometimes he just says, it's not that bad. That's first step. And you listen to it, and then he adds in that implication and insinuation. God is cheating you. Look here, girl. Not only is there nothing wrong with this fruit, and you're not going to die, but God's keeping you from it because he knows that if you eat it, you're going to be like God. Watch this. Ain't that big a deal to rob God? Oh, come on. Ain't that big of a deal. Time is not a big issue. You made the money. That's an implication. Here's the insinuation. You could use it for a whole lot better stuff. And here's the infiltration. You know what? You're right. You know how much more I could do if I had. Yeah. And by the way, it always starts and gets worse. Listen, you have a flesh. You have a self lust. It's there. Not just in teenagers, not just in men, not just in baby Christians. It's in all of us. And the devil customizes his launch, not based on whether we have a flesh, but based on his studious evaluation of where we are in our Christian life. And listen to me now. If you struggle in an area, you better believe he knows. And he just starts with an implication. I mean, really? Really that bad? And it's an insinuation. Come on, let me tell you. You'll have a whole lot more fun listening to me than you would listening to Jesus. Has he ever told you that? And the bad part about it is, when you don't shut him down with the implication and the insinuation, before long, it becomes an infiltration. And now watch this now. Although, could you imagine? Eve literally walked with God every day. And if the devil could convince her to believe a lie, walking with God every single day, you don't think he can convince us? This is a process. What do you mean common process? But every man is tempted. When he is what? Drawn away of his Of his what? His own lust.
Well, he made me do it. She made me mad. That's why I reacted that way. I lashed back because they lashed at me. I'm tired of people doing this to me, so I did it back to them. Listen to me. That may sound good here, but God doesn't want to hear it. You were drawn away of your own lust.
And that's why the most godly fall. Amen. Because all it takes is one lapse in judgment. Amen. You better be careful. I'm gonna let you go. But I want you to leave here thoughtful. If you know that there's an area where you're weak, and you know that there is a devil that's altogether wicked, then rather than going through a guilt trip because you keep biting the bait, why don't you seal up all the entrances to limit how many times he can bait you? You can't become a super Christian tonight, but you can go home and block some of the entry points. If every time you own that contraption, you get in trouble, stop getting on it. And if you can't help getting on it, get rid of it. And every time you talk to that person, you're doing the wrong thing, quit talking to them. And by the way, parents, if our children aren't godly enough, parents, since our children aren't godly enough to know where to block entry points, we need to take some spiritual duct tape, some spiritual, what you call that thing? You close up them gaps outside the house that you can't even get in. What's that, Brother Ray? What's that called? No, not weather. Caulking. Yeah. We need to get some spiritual caulk. Amen. I tell you, there's a lot of Christians that got some good looking spiritual houses. But the problem is them houses got a lot of leaks and cracks on them. And some of us need to take the word of God. I'm not saying be Moses, turn into Moses tonight, or turn into David tonight, or turn into Paul. But I'm simply saying there's enough Bible that I gave you in 25 minutes tonight to at least take that and caulk up some leaks in the building. Caulk it up. Because they'll tell you. And everybody I've talked to tells me, water just needs a little entry point and it'll find a way in and travel. We've had areas around this building sealed up and patched and closed up over and over again. My mom and daddy have had 8 times somebody come out and close up the same leak. Different people. Three, four different people. You know what the problem is? It's getting in somewhere we haven't spotted yet. Listen, you can hate leaks all you want to, but hating them ain't going to keep water from getting in if the entry points haven't been closed. Listen to me. You can hate getting embarrassed every time you sin, but hating getting embarrassed every time you sin ain't going to stop sin from getting in if you don't learn how to close up. I'm just simply saying, if you don't take nothing from this message, get out of this building today and take some caulk with you. Take some caulk with you. And stop letting the devil, let's be honest. Some Christian people have been struggling with the same thing for 15 years. How in the world can God get up out the grave and he can't keep you from sinning? We ought to do our part. I don't want to help the devil with nothing. Amen. He's dangerous enough without my help. Why in the world would I want to help him? Tempt me. Then when lust hath conceived. That's what we're going to talk about in 2 weeks. Some verses that we've seen a lot of times. I want to give you some more information on it. I'm sorry. 3 weeks. Missions conference, right? All right. Well, you need to chew on this one for about 3 weeks. What do we do? It's going to be 3 weeks before we hear James again. You got enough leaks in there to caulk for 3 weeks. Caulk. So when you come back, say, Pastor, I'm not perfect, but the last 3 weeks, I've been closing up entry points. You can't close them up till you go looking for them. And by the way, there's enough of us that love you in here and enough people that love each other that if you don't know where the leaks are, there's some godly people who, if you will tell them you're open to it, will inform you of your leaks and help you caulk them. By the way, sir, one of the best people to help you caulk your leaks is your wife. Amen. Well, I lost about 39 of you right there. So good thing you got 3 weeks. And 3 weeks from now when I say that statement, I want all 39 of you to say amen. Amen. We need our wives to help us caulk some areas. And ma'am, you need your husband. And if you're not on the same page, the devil will find his way into the house. And you can blame each other for leaving the entry point open, but it won't matter who you blame. It's going to hurt both of y'all. So instead of blaming who left the entry points open, let's close them up. And by the grace of God, not bite the bait. Our Father, help us. Help us to be serious about the word. If we won't receive the word, no wonder we keep living in sin. Help us. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.